on me? It's time to get it checked, boy. You on the sideline, you ain't made the headlines. Now it's time to reject, boy. You bitten on me? What's the topic of discussion? What you talking about? Take your best shot, I'ma take the last shot. I'm Jordan in the clutch, boy. You bitten on me? It's time to get it checked, boy. You on the sideline, you ain't made the headlines. Now it's time to reject, boy. You bitten on me? What's the topic of discussion? What you talking about?
All righty, guys, that was Pull Up Tay on the intro, and we are live for another episode of The Auto Bit. It is March. It is our favorite time of the year, man, and business is booming over here at All Facts Media. We are here live at the MAC tournament in Atlantic City, but today we have a special guest for you, man. Special episode for you guys. We're going to be joined by the NEC champion, Mount St. Mary's. We're going to have head coach Dan Engelstad, and we're going to have Damian Chonqui, one of the stars of the NEC tournament, man. So cannot wait to get you over to that interview a little later on. We're super excited about that, man. But Drew, we're here in Atlantic City, man. It's been a great week, man. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good, man. Like you said, man, you know, we're in Atlantic City for the MAC tournament, so watching tons and tons of basketball, man. We had to get some triple screen action last night trying to watch that CAA championship between Drexel and Elon. Shout out to the Drexel Dragons, man, for winning this the CAA chip. That was a school that I was going to go to back in the day when they had Coach Bruiser Flint down there. Shout out my guy, Coach Bobby Jordan, if you're listening to this. Great guys down there in Philly, man. Happy to see those guys get it done, even though those guys aren't there now. You know, Drexel always had a special place in my heart. But yeah, man, I'm super excited to, you know, get these guys that interview with Mount St. Mary's, man. Those guys obviously just pulled off a stellar tournament run in the NEC tournament. But I'm excited, man. You know, it's March Madness. We've seen buzzer beaters galore. You know, Ethan Lasko last night, you know, had some late night heroics, man. So got a lot to get into on this episode, man. But definitely, you know, glad to be here.
Yeah, even talk about Ethan Lasko, man. The MAC tournament has been wild, man. Night one, we saw the 11th seed Ryder Bronx knock off the 6th seed Canisius Golden Griffs, man. And it was a thriller, high scoring affair. Ryder was down 11 with about 11 minutes to go. They were down 5 with about 2 minututes to go. End the game on a 7-0 run to advance to the quarterfinal round of the MAC tournament. And then last night, we saw Ethan Lasko, who was a walk-on at Manhattan, hit a 3 to send Manhattan into overtime against Fairfield. Obviously, Manhattan was 1-for-17 from 3 before he hit that shot. The second made 3 of the night was the biggest of the night. Unfortunately, Manhattan fell in overtime to Fairfield, who will be moving on to the quarterfinals, where they will be facing Monmouth today. Also, the quarterfinals today, we're going to see Iona and Siena. Obviously, Iona last night defeated Quinnipiac and what was a kind of a disappointing game for the Bobcats, man. They just struggled to make shots, struggled to make free throws, man. It was just one of those days where shots did not fall. And unfortunately, Rick Pitino had his team ready to play. And, you know, Iona put it on them, man. They were able to win that game 72-48 in advance to the quarterfinal round, where they will face Siena, who was the one seed in the MAC tournament. Manny Camper just announced to be the MAC Player of the Year. If you guys haven't already, make sure you guys go back and watch that interview with Manny Camper. We had Manny Camper, Jalen Pickett, and head coach Carl Massarello in our first episode of the Auto Bid. So if you haven't already, make sure you go back and watch that episode of the Auto Bid, man. But it's been a fun week, a very exciting week of action at the MAC tournament. I'm excited for that Siena-Iona game today. It should be a lot of fun.
Now, for sure, man. Definitely should be a lot of fun, man. We're going to talk to you guys a little more about the kind of matchups today a little bit later, man. But it's been a fun year this year at the Auto Bid, man. We've had a lot of guys on the platform, man. Shout out my guy Darius McGee, who was named Atlantic Sun Player of the Year. We had him on the Auto Bid earlier this season. Shout out Alex Morales. We had him on last week's episode of the Auto Bid, who was named NEC Player of the Week. Also, the Tark brothers, obviously at Coppin State, swept the MEAC Awards. Anthony Tark winning Player of the Year and Defensive Player of the Year. Nando winning Rookie of the Year and getting into the MEAC Third Team All-Conference. So make sure you guys go back and stream that episode as well. My guy AJ Wilson was able to break the George Mason all-time blocks record in his last game at George Mason. So make sure you guys go back and stream his episode of the Auto Bid. Man, we've had a great, great year on this podcast, man. It's crazy to see the amount of guys who have success, you know, this year winning Player of the Years or, you know, regular season champs and all type of crazy stuff, man. So definitely been a fun year. Hope I didn't miss anybody, man. But definitely been a great year this year.
Yeah, it's been awesome, man. I'm pretty sure every player that we've had on here ended up winning a postseason award or breaking the record, whether it be, you know, AJ Wilson breaking the blocks record, Alex Morales, Darius McGee, Anthony Tark. winning Player of the Year, and then they talk winning Rookie of the Year, Manny Camper winning Player of the Year, to Jalen Pickett won Black Player of the Year last year. I mean, it's been a crazy year, man, so definitely been awesome.
Now, for sure, man, we're going to talk about records and people who we've had on the podcast. I can't forget about my brother, Splash Brother himself, Jacob Rigoni, set the Quinnipiac all-time record in three-pointers made. Also joining a 1,000-point club this year, man. So hats off to you, Jake, on a wonderful, wonderful career at Quinnipiac. I mean, definitely probably one of the best shooters I ever played with, you know. So kudos to you, man. You definitely had a great year. They were episode 2, I believe, of the Auto Bait. So make sure you go back and stream that, man, from the Splash Brother himself from Australia, from Down Under.
Yep. For sure, man. So we gave you a little bit about the Mac, man. And like we said, it's been a busy week. You know, it is bid clinching week, man. It is championship week. Selection Sunday is this Sunday. We're a few days away, man. And a bunch of teams have punched their ticket. It's been 11 already have punched their ticket. We're going to see 20 more between now and Selection Sunday, man. So we're going to give you guys a little recap just in case you guys have missed any action, man. It's been pandemonium, to say the least. To start the week, man, we're going to start out with the Atlantic Sun, man. I mean, obviously, Liberty, our guy Darius McGee. Liberty was the first team to punch a ticket to the dance. They defeated North Alabama in the championship of the Atlantic Sun tournament. Obviously, North Alabama was a team that is in the third year of a four-year transitioning period from Division I. So they were not eligible to go to the tournament, even if they had won the Atlantic Sun championship game. But Liberty was able to defeat them in the championship of the Atlantic Sun and advance to the NCAA tournament. Man, Coach Richie McKay has done an outstanding job with that program. Obviously, we mentioned Darius McGee has been an absolute tear this year, man. And Liberty is going back to the tournament looking to get some wins. Maybe talk to Darius McGee earlier on the podcast, man, and he said that his squad is looking to win games. They've already beaten Mississippi State and South Carolina this year out of the SEC, man. So they're a team that have no stranger to success. They beat South Carolina in the NCAA tournament. Mississippi State in the NCAA tournament a few years back, man. So they're no stranger to wins in March, man, and they're looking to get some more wins this year for sure.
Nah, yeah, man. I mean, I'm glad that Liberty won, man, because that would have been a puzzling occurrence if they would have lost, you know, to North Alabama, and then, you know, North Alabama can't go and Liberty goes regardless. So I'm glad that Liberty kind of, I guess, absolved the A-son of a nightmare situation that they would have had to deal with there. I guess North Alabama, they would have been the tournament champions, but, you know, not being able to go to the Big Dance definitely does hurt, you know. So to the Big South, man, we go. Winthrop was crowned Big South champions. Shout out to my guy, Jermaine UK Boo down there. Winthrop, man, winning back-to-back championships down there in the Big South, man. Winthrop pretty much ran through the Big South. Campbell did make a bit of a run. Campbell beat Radford, I believe, right?
Yes. Campbell. Definitely had a good run in the Big South tournament, man. Gave Winthrop a run for their money, man. But obviously, Winthrop, man, like you said, they did run through the Big South this year. Only lost one game out to UNC Asheville this season, man. So, you know, kudos to Pat Kelsey for the job that he's done at Winthrop this year, man. Chandler Vordran is going to be a player to watch in March. He actually is a Division II transfer. We'll talk a little bit about another Division II transfer later on in the show, but Chandler Vordran has been absolutely spectacular all season long, man. Campbell was, you know, a team that was a third seed in the Big South tournament, but, you know, obviously was able to knock out Radford, who was the second seed, and advance to the championship where they were defeated by Winthrop. But, you know, like you said, Winthrop is going to be a team, if you're looking for some bracket busters, looking for teams that are going to make some noise, we mentioned Liberty, but Winthrop as well, man. They are both teams that can advance, and I think both of those guys will win a game in the tournament. I think, you know, whether it be a 12-5, 13-4, I think those guys are definitely... Liberty and Winthrop, I would almost pencil in my bracket now to advance to the round of 32. And then depending on the matchup, those are two teams that could, you know, even make it a Sweet 16 run, man. So, yes, it was you know, a great season for Pat Kelsey and Winthrop over in the Big South. Only one loss for them this season, man. They are definitely one of the best teams in the country.
Not for sure, man. To the CAA we go, man. I mean, this is probably the conference with the most wreckage, you know, in this week, man. We started off with JMU, man. JMU, who was the one seed entering the CAA tournament, got upset, you know, by Elon in that quarterfinal round, who was the 8 seed. Definitely a controversial ending to that game, man. The referees called 2 technical fouls. I think one was for a player screaming and one after a made bucket, and then the other one was for a coaching box error or something like that, which... The next day, I guess the higher-ups in the CAA refs pretty much came out and said that Both of those texts were unwarranted, should not have been called. I mean, your heart absolutely breaks for JMU, who obviously has been through a lot this year. Their CAA Player of the Year, Matt Lewis, you know, goes down with a season-ending injury. They still make it to the NCAA tournament. To the CAA tournament, obviously, and have a chance to advance. And then this happens, you know, with the referees. Absolute hate for that to happen, man. For sure, man. I mean, we knew the CAA was gonna be crazy coming in. I mean, Hofstra was coming off a pause. Delaware was coming off a pause. Northeastern all coming off pauses. And it really hurt Hofstra and Northeastern, man. Northeastern obviously was the one seed. They had the best player, in my opinion, in the league, in Tyson Walker. Matt Lewis was also obviously up there as well. But, I mean, me and Drew saw Tyson Walker in person. And I don't know if I've seen a better player in the country than Tyson Walker, man. And, you know, that COVID, man, it is real, man. I mean, obviously Hofstra and Northeastern both found that out in the conference tournament. Delaware as well, who was also coming off a pause, man. And, you know, it's unfortunate, man, but that's the way it goes, man. Like you said earlier, definitely happy for Drexel, man, to be able to get that done. They are definitely going to be a dangerous team. The Colonial always, you know, puts out good teams in the conference tournament. So happy for Drexel and the Dragons to be able to win the CAA.
And for sure, man. And definitely, like I said, you know, for my heart goes out to JMU, man, in that 1-8 game. And, you know, Northeastern as a 2-seed coming in, you know, co-champs in the CAA, man. It's definitely, you know, unfortunate for them. You know, your 1-seed goes out, your 2-seed goes out. It's crazy. You know, it's crazy, man. JMU and Northeastern, man, had to have a regular season. But nonetheless, the Drexel Dragons will be dancing. So congrats to those guys for punching a bid out of the CAA. To the Horizon League we go. Cleveland State was able to capture the Horizon League last night. I mean, the Horizon League got a little funky at first, man. We saw an upset that first night. Milwaukee upset Wright State, you know, and then Milwaukee turned around and almost, you know, beat Cleveland State, man. They gave them a run for their money. It was crazy, man. Milwaukee, for a little bit, I got a notification. It was like, oh, I don't know, man. They're going to be able to pull it off again. But Cleveland State is able to punch a bit out of the Horizon League, man. Definitely, you know, congrats to those guys as well.
For sure, man. The Horizon League was craziness. But in the end, Cleveland State obviously was able to end up, you know, winning it. They were co-champs with Wright State in the regular season, man. So those two teams were neck and neck all year. You kind of had a feeling that it was going to be one of those two teams. I mean, they clearly separated themselves from the path. Obviously, Wright State got upset, but Cleveland State was able to survive in advance and get out of the Horizon League unscathed.
Now, I do have one nugget. Was this not the team that Cleveland State, weren't we talking about them on the early episode of the Autobed when they were, didn't they give up a 40-0 run to Ohio? Was that them?
That sure was.
That sure was, right?
Sure was. They lost that game 101-46, including a 40-0
run. And yeah, they turn around and win the Horizon League, are going to be in the NCAA tournament. I mean, talk about
nuts.
Talk about the tale of two seasons. I mean, one game you lose by 50, then turn around a couple months later and your Horizon League champions going to the NCAA tournament. I mean, I think that's the mark of a great coach, a well-coached team, sure, man. To take a team from, you know, giving up a 40-0 run, being pretty much the laughing stock of basketball for a night, and then you just keep chopping away, man. And now, you know, for them to be Horizon League champions, man, I mean, that says a lot about that team, man, about the players on that team, being able to kind of just, you know, next play mentality, having a short memory, you know, being able to kind of, all right, brush that loss off and then keep pushing, you know, throughout the rest of the Horizon League season, man. So definitely shout out to those guys, man, because that was quite the turnaround.
Not for sure. You talk about having short memory. I mean, they lost by 55 to Ohio. Next game, they turn around and play Ohio State and give Ohio State all they could handle, lose 67-61. You know, obviously, Ohio State is one of the best teams in the country. And for them to come out their next performance out a week later and give them a run for their money, then obviously turn around in the Horizon League and do what they did, man. I mean, you know, they won their next 9 games after that Ohio State loss, man, started the Horizon League 9-0 before a loss to Wright State. Knocked them off their snide. But, man, I mean, Cleveland State, man, that is the story of adversity, man. And they definitely you know, are you know, one of the toughest, mentally toughest teams in the country, you know, to be able to turn that season around the way they did.
Now, for sure, man, definitely got to give a shout out to the head coach, you know, Dennis Gates, for the coaching job that he did with those guys this year. They were picked 7th in the preseason poll, and obviously we mentioned they were picked 7th, suffered that 50-point loss earlier in the season, man, and now they're sitting as the Horizon League champions, man. So, head coach Dennis Gates, man, hell of a job there, man.
definitely want to give those guys a shout out, you know, for winning the Horizon League, man. But to the Missouri Valley we go. Louis Chicago wins in Missouri Valley. I don't think there's any surprise there. You know, I think for me, the most admirable thing was seeing Drake actually get to the title game. You know, obviously we know all the adversity that they faced with the injuries that kind of set them back this season. But to see them, you know, finish it off, man, and at least get to the conference championship game, man, and give yourself a chance. You know, that's all you really ask for, man, is give yourself a chance to go dancing, man. It's unfortunate because I think that they would have been at full strength, then they maybe could have got an at-large bid or maybe even won the Missouri Valley if they would have been at full strength, man. So being able to still win against Louis Chicago in the two-game series that they had was huge despite the injuries, man. So, you know, kudos to Louis Chicago for winning that, but, you know, kudos to Drake as well for a great season.
Yeah, for sure, man. I mean, I was telling you all year long, man, when they lost Shaq Hempfield and they had that series against Louis Chicago, that's why I told you that I thought they could still win one game in that series, and they did, because this team just, they find ways to win. I've said it time and time again, man. They're an old bunch. They're a disciplined bunch, man, and they simply never say die mentality, man. What I would say about Drake is that loss to Bradley hurt them a lot, because when you're trying to get to, when you're trying to get an at-large bid, those type of losses, quad three, quad four losses, are not going to help your case. Obviously, you know, the committee's going to know that they weren't at full strength. Hopefully, you can get Shaq Hempfield back for the tournament. They said that he's been, you know, he's seeking evaluations to see, you know, if he can get medically clear. But they're going to be sweating it out until Selection Sunday, man. But I think, like you said, to get to the tournament final, to get a little Chicago, everything, you know, that they wanted in that championship game is definitely a testament to them. I hope they get in. I would love to see them in the tournament. I think they deserve to be in, you know, but that's up to the committee, so we'll see what happens.
Now, for sure, man. To the Ohio Valley, man, Morehead State, you know, Morehead State gets the Ohio Valley Championship, man, and they upset Belmont, you know, a team that went on a 21-game win streak earlier in the season. So, I mean, that was extremely surprising to me. You know, we know Belmont, you know, had some injuries. They weren't really at full strength. But, you know, nonetheless, man, Morehead State got it done.
Yeah, man, this was definitely one of the more surprising results. Man, that injury to Nick Mazinski really, really, really hurt Belmont. Man, obviously, they dropped their last two games of the regular season without him. And then he comes back for the conference tournament, man, and it was just, I think their rhythm was disrupted. You know, when he went down, he comes back, he wasn't the same. You know, it's tough when you have a 21 game win streak, and then you obviously, you know, lose your best player. It's tough for him to get in the rhythm offensively. I mean, that first game back, he only plays 18 minutes, scores 5 points in that first round win over SIUE. He actually had a really good game in the championship. He went out there and he scored 23 points on 10 of 15 shooting, you know. So it definitely was, you know, he led them in scoring. It was an admirable performance, man. But, you know, for a team like Belmont that thrives on pace and rhythm and offensive execution, man, when you lose your best player at a time like that, and it really disrupts your rhythm, man. So got to feel for Belmont, man. But Morehead State is going to be a team to watch in the NCAA tournament, man. They're 23-7 on the year, 17-3 in the Missouri Valley, man. And, you know, they're in the OVC, I'm sorry. So they're going to be a team to watch in the NCAA tournament.
Not for sure, man. For sure. I think that, you know, hats off to those guys, man. You know, I remember Morehead State from the Kenneth Faried days, man. So definitely happy to see those guys back on the top of the mountain, man. To the SoCal we go, man. And Ace, man, me and you both owe Wes Miller an apology, you know, because we've been talking, well, you've been talking about Furman all year. You know, I said Wofford was my pick. But Wes Miller, man, I mean, he gets it done. You know, UNCG, you know, despite all the noise that we had and, you know, talking about Furman and Wofford and Chattanooga and ETSU, you know, they win the regular season. And then they go on and win the SoCon tournament championship as well. Isaiah Miller just has an absolutely stellar conference tournament, man. And, you know, UNCG gets the bid, man. You know, Mercer upset Wofford, you know, yeah, Mercer upset Wofford in that SoCon tournament. And Furman, you know, lost to VMI. You know, so I think those were the two biggest upsets if I had to pick two, you know, in the SoCon, man, you know, in my opinion.
You know, I told you on this episode last week that Mercer was going to give people some problems in this tournament, man. And they sure did, man. They advanced all the way to the final as a 7th seed, knocked off Samford in the first round, then beat the 2 seed Wofford in a thriller in the quarterfinal round, beat VMI in the semis pretty handily, and then obviously lost to UNCG. But they gave UNCG a run for their money in the championship game as well, man. Mercer is an extremely well-coached team, man. But UNCG, we can't say enough about Wes Miller. And Isaiah Miller, no, they're not related. Wes Miller is the head coach. Isaiah Miller is the conference player of the year two times now. SoCon player of the year, man. We definitely got to get them their flowers. Because when we saw them versus Coppin State, I mean, they didn't look very good, honestly. They didn't look very good. And, you know, for Wes Miller to get that team on track and to turn that season around and to be sitting here at the end of the season as SoCon champion is definitely something, you know, to be, you know, to be rewarded for, man. But arguably the biggest news out of the SoCon is that Storm Murphy and Trey Hollowell, excuse me, are entering the transfer portal out of Wofford. Obviously, Storm Murphy is one of the best players in the country, regardless of level, man. He's going to have his fair share of suitors. You know, he's from, obviously, Wisconsin. So, you know, God, I think there'll be some Big Ten teams involved. I think a team like Michigan, you know, or even Wisconsin, you know, could use him next year, man. But he's going to have, you know, he's gonna have his fair share of suitors for sure, heading into this offseason.
Not for sure, man. I think that's big time news, obviously, because, you know, Storm Murphy and Trey Hollowell are, you know, the Terriers' two leading scorers, you know, so definitely a big blow to Wofford, but I have no doubt that they'll be able to retool and get back to where they need to be, you know. But UNCG will be going dancing again. To the Summer League we go. Oral Roberts. They defeated North Dakota State in the Summer League Championship. And it's crazy, man, because Oral Roberts pulled off probably one of the most shocking upsets again, you know, by beating South Dakota State, you know, in that Summer League tournament, man. So, I mean, it's crazy, man. Oral Roberts, you know, being a 4 seed, they're going to be going dancing.
Yeah, that was one of the more surprising results for me, man. I mean, South Dakota State had a stranglehold on that conference, in my opinion, all year. Obviously, they had a great non-conference. Wins over Utah State. They beat Iowa State, who obviously had a rough year. They gave West Virginia all they could handle, you know, only lost to them by 8 points. And it was looking like South Dakota State, you know, was going to win right with the league. Obviously, they earned the 1 seed in the conference tournament, man. And, you know, they had a really good team, a really good season, man. So it was tough to see them go out with Oral Roberts, man. But for them, you know, you get that tip at the buzzer, man. Like my guy John Rothstein says, this is March. You know, you can never be too sure of anything in any conference tournaments, man. So kudos to Oral Roberts, who also, you know, had a scare from North Dakota State in that conference final. I'm sorry, Oral Roberts had a 20-point lead. North Dakota State came all the way back to tie the game. I mean, and they found a way to win that game, man. You got to find ways to survive in March, man. And they did just that, and they're going to be going dancing.
Not for real, man. I think, you know, Coach Jay Young last night in his Fairfield presser said it best. You know, all you got to do is win by one. You know, that's all you got to do is win by one in March, man. It don't matter if you win by 30, if you win by 2, if you win by 5, man. It's kind of the same, man. You're going to advance, man. But I think it's for us being media members, I mean, it's exciting for us to see all these upsets and things like that, man. You know, 8-1, 6-3. But, I mean, when you think about these teams, man, I mean, as a 1 seed, man, I mean, my heart just goes out to all these teams, man, because, I mean, you put in so much work in the regular season to kind of, you know, get a first round bye. Most times in these conference tournaments, you can get advanced all the way to almost the quarterfinals, or some conferences you can advance all the way to the semifinals if you're in 1 seed, man. And to come this far, man, and to lose in March, man, it just sucks. You know, to kind of not be able to see the fruits of your labor be rewarded with the NCAA tournament berth, man. But, you know, I guess like you said, man, this is March, man. But, you know, to the Sun Belt, another, you know, crazy, crazy tournament, man. Appalachian State is going to be going dancing, man. Appalachian State was able to beat 2 1-seeds. You know, not one, but 2 number 1 seeds. You know, the Sun Belt had an interesting tournament bracket. They kind of had 2 sides of the bracket. So, you know, they beat Texas State first, who was a 1 seed, and then they were able to beat Georgia State in the championship game, man. Definitely got to shout out Mike Almonte, you know, a Division II transfer. You had 32-7 in that in that conference championship game, man. So, Appalachian State is going to be going dancing, man. Definitely shout out to those guys, man. You know, I know for me, at least, you know, Appalachian State was kind of known as a football school, man. And, hey, man, special request. Committee, I don't know if somebody listening to this podcast, man. App State, Michigan, 16-1. I mean, you got to do it. You had to do it, you know, for the nostalgia, for the storyline. I mean, why not? You know, for the college fans and all of us, man. App State, Michigan, part 2. You know, maybe we can see Appalachian State pulled off again. You know, maybe, you know, Juwan Howard and those boys can get some revenge. We'll have to see, man. But nonetheless, Appalachian State going dancing out of the Sun Belt.
Yeah, for sure, man. They had to beat two number one seeds on the way to that Sun Belt Championship, because obviously the Sun Belt had that East and West bracket. So they defeated the number one seed in the West, I want to say, is Texas State, who you know had a great year this season, man. They were looking like they were going to be the favorites to cut down the nets, man. And then they beat, obviously, the one seed out of the East in Georgia State in the championship game. And like you said, Division II transfer Mike Almonte wins tournament MVP with 32 points and 7 assists in that championship game. He was a guy that Southern New Hampshire, another NE10 school. Obviously, we had Coach Joey Gallo on here earlier talking about the strength of the NE10. You know, obviously, Niagara's leading scorer, Kobe Nwandu, is from Lemoyne, which is also in the NE10. Talking about Chandler Vodrin, who was Windsor's best player. He's a D2 transfer. I mean, there are some Division there's some talent in Division II, man. This is yet another example of the talent that is down there, man, in that conference, you know, in the NE10. And, you know, it was one of the greatest stories that I've seen so far this week to see Appalachian State pull that off, man. So kudos to them for getting that done for sure.
For sure, man. We talk about guys like Chandler Vodrin and Mike Almonte. I mean, it just broke, I think that was day, man, that the top three scorers in Division II put the name in the transfer portal as grad transfer. So, I mean, we could be seeing another Mike Almonte, another Chandler Vodrin, guys who can be Pennsylvania Conference Player of the Years, you know, all tournament teams next year. So, obviously, like we mentioned, man, Iger, Kobe Nwandu, leading scorer, man. So, I guarantee you, this time next year, we'll be talking about the next batch of Division II transfers who are kind of making a big-time impact on college basketball.
Oh, no, for sure. I'm pretty sure it was three of the top five scorers in Division II. There was one guy, he averaged like 28 or something like that, that entered the portal, man. So it's gonna be interesting, man. We're going to see what happens with the transfer portal, man. The portal is going to be absolutely booming this year. I mean, there's already over 100 names in the portal, and the season isn't even over yet. There were about 80 names entered, I believe, like yesterday or the day before yesterday alone. Like 80 guys hit the portal, so it's going to be unbelievable, man. This offseason is going to be absolute pandemonium, and I cannot wait. It's going to be a busy offseason for us over here at All Facts Media trying to, you know, cover all this, but you love nothing else, man, so I'm looking forward to it.
For sure, man, and to the WCC, no surprise here, Gonzaga is able to win the WCC title, but they got, they, you know, BYU get them run for their money, man. BYU was up 12 at half. I think they shot like 70% from three or something in the first half, man. Gave Gonzaga all they could handle. You know, Gonzaga has a great second half. Jalen Suggs, you know, kind of did what he does, you know, did Jalen Suggs things. And Gonzaga was able to win that game by 10. And after the game, I didn't know that was a thing. You know, Ace Fewey. But Gonzaga head coach Mark Few said that this was the best thing that could happen to them, man. Being able to be tested before the NCAA tournament. Obviously, we know Gonzaga is undefeated, man. And, you know, for them, they haven't really faced too much adversity since the non-conference. You know, the WCC schedule didn't really give them too much resistance. And he said that this was literally the best thing that could happen to this team, having to respond after being down double figures in the first half and having to, you know, pull their way out of that.
Yeah, for sure, man. I mean, obviously, you know, I listened to the Goodman Humble Pod, and they had Fewey on there. And they were saying that Mark Few was trying to schedule some games, man, because obviously they hadn't played. They had a little layoff between the end of the regular season and the start of the conference tournament, man. And they were trying to schedule some big guns. They wanted to get tested, man, because, you know, if you go into the NCAA tournament having not been tested, that's not the place that you want to learn a lesson. That's not the place that you want to learn a lesson, you know, in adversity. So, you know, they haven't played a single-digit game since December 2nd, to be exact. You know, obviously, we're now in March. West Virginia was the last game that they played that they won by a single-digit margin. Obviously, that was an 87-82 victory in the beginning of December to start, you know, almost to start the season for them, man. And they haven't been tested since. So that was definitely a great, great game for them to have to come back for some adversity and to be able to get that win, man. Because that is now 26-0 on the season, man. So they're going to be heading into the NCAA tournament undefeated. I believe you got to win six games to win it all. So if they do win the national title, they will be 32-0 and finishing the season undefeated. So we'll see if they can get it done, man. But I would take Gonzaga over the field if I had to at this point in time.
I agree, man. Like I said yesterday, man, in our group chat, I don't think Gonzaga is going to break a sweat into the Elite Eight. I'm sure Ace has something to say about that, you know. But I guess we shall see, man. We shall see. But without further ado, man, to the NEC. The NEC where Mount St. Mary's was able to capture the 2021 NEC Championship in amazing fashion by getting two road wins over top-seeded Wagner And then over second-seeded Bryant, who hadn't lost a game in Smithfield all season, man. I mean, hell of a performance from Mount St. Mary's.
For sure, man. I mean, that's a team that came out of nowhere. Like Coach, you know, here in the interview, you know, they had to win their last three games of the year to get in because they had lost three straight. And so they had to win three straight to get into the tournament, man. And they did just that to get the fourth seed. Because obviously we know, we talked about on this podcast, only the top four teams in the NEC make the tournament, man. So they won their last four games to get into the dance. And then obviously they went on the road and beat the top seeded, you know, they beat the Wagner Seahawks, obviously with the player of the year, the coach of the year, and the rookie of the year on that team. And then obviously they go to Smithfield and defeat Bryant, who had just won by 30 in the conference semifinals round without their full team. Testament to you know, Coach Dan Engelstad and Damian Chonqui, man, who was an absolute warrior. They have an absolutely great team over at Mount St. Mary's, man. Great culture over there. So happy to see them back dancing again, man. So we're going to get you guys over to that interview, man. Without further ado, we're going to be joined by Damian Chonqui and head coach Dan Engelstad of the newly crowned NEC champions, man. So without further ado, here's Coach Engelstad and Damian Chonqui. Alrighty, guys, we are here for another episode of the Auto Bid with the NEC champions from Mount St. Mary's. We're joined by head coach Dan Engelstad, and of course, one of the darlings of the NEC tournament, Damian Chonqui. So, guys, thanks for joining us today, man. And first and foremost, you know, congrats on you guys' win last night, man, and thanks for hopping on with us.
Appreciate you guys, man.
Yeah. No problem, man. So we're going to go ahead and get right into it, man. Dave, I want to start with you, man. I mean, you and I watching the game last night, man. You had some huge shots down the stretch. They were trying to deny you the ball, but you were determined to get open, man. You hit some huge shots down the stretch, man. I mean, talk to me a little bit about, you know, that part of your game. And, well, first off, you know, what was the feeling like, you know, when that buzzer hit zero and you guys, you know, were crowned NEC champions?
That was an unbelievable feeling. That was my first time experiencing anything like that. That was one of the best moments of my life. But that was, as far as making those shots and being there, it was just about embracing that moment. You know, a lot of people don't get that opportunity to play at that level on that stage. So I just, with myself, and especially with my team, I talked to my team about just embracing that moment. So.
Now, on the graphic, man, obviously you guys were watching the game on TV, but on TV, man, they showed a graphic where it was like, you know, a lot of your points that came, like, it was like you scored the team's last 7 points in the game versus Wagner. You had all these crazy points in the last couple minutes of these games coming down the stretch. For you, man, what is it about, you know, your confidence level that allows you to kind of just take over the game when the game is on the line?
Honestly, it's my team. You know, they instill a lot of confidence in me. They show a lot of confidence in me. So I'm as close with the guys on this team, top to bottom, as I am anybody in my life. So, you know, when somebody you feel that passionate about or love that much, it's instilled that much confidence in you. It's easy to have the confidence in yourself.
So, now, Coach, for you, man, I mean, you guys had lost three straight at one point in time, and then were able to turn it around and win your last three games coming into the tournament, and then obviously were able to win, you know, defeat the top seed of Wagner, and then defeat the two seed Bryant, both on the road in the conference tournament. So, I mean, what changed for you guys after that three-game winning streak, you know, being able to finish the season out with those three wins and coming into the conference tournament with some momentum?
Yeah, I mean, we needed all three. If we didn't get in yet, if we lost one, we weren't in the conference tournament. And, you know, that's credit to our team. Our back was against the wall. And, you know, that doesn't happen without leadership. And Dame's really been our leader and our heartbeat and our pulse of the team. And, you know, I just – you could see him rally our guys. And it was almost like a refuse-to-lose attitude. And we were down double figures at FDU on the road. And we needed a win. And we knew our season was in the balance. And – our guys had the best half of basketball that we played all season, and that's it changed kind of the momentum. And then, you know, we went to the PA, and we're down 7 with 45 seconds to go, and Dame, similar situation, just took over. You know, I've never been around a player as clutch as he has. And, you know, he talked about his teammates being the reason why he's able to deliver, and you know, I think that's being modest. He's able to do that because of his work. You know, and when your best player, which he is for us, is your best leader, then you can come back from adversity. And we were down – you know, we lost three in a row, close games. You know, one of them was an overtime game. One of them was a, you know, a last minute last-minute loss to Wagner after Damian fought to help, and our guys fought to get back in the game. So, you know, it wasn't like it were blowout losses. We were playing, you know, hard and in games, but we were able to win some close ones down the stretch.
Now, for you, Coach, I mean, it's also your third year. You know, obviously, you know, when you got the job, obviously, after Coach Christian, man, a lot of guys transferred, hit the portal. Even, you know, this offseason, obviously, Votto hit the transfer portal. For you, you know, just looking back from when you first got the job to now, you know, having to kind of rebuild the program, started from scratch, what does this moment mean to you to be able to capture NEC title, you know, in your third year and be able to get back to the NCAA tournament?
Honestly, like Damon said, it's one of the best feelings that you can ever experience. It's like seeing, you know, a guy like Dame and Nana and Malik that have been with us now for 3 years, to see the euphoria, you know, on their faces after the game, to see them celebrate it. Like, they've been through some crap. You know, we've had some tough seasons and slugged through it, and hasn't been easy. And that road that they've had to get there, it makes it that much more meaningful, you know, to see that as a coaching staff, just to see them, you know, that happy, because they worked for it and they earned it, and that's now they're champions, and no one can ever take that from them, and that's the fun part of coaching.
Mm-hmm. Now, Damon, for you, man, I mean, obviously, you guys had to go on the road and defeat Wagner, who was the top seed. They had the player of the year. Then you had to go to Bryant on the road and win a game that you guys, you know, were in favor. I mean, nobody coming into the year had you guys, you know, winning, you know, the conference tour. I mean, for you,
Brian had lost all year at home.
Exactly. Either. Brian was 10-0 in their home gym. I mean, talk about, you know, as a player, just the adversity that you guys, you know, fought through and battled through it in the end to be able to win those two tough games on the road, you know, when nobody else thought you guys had a chance.
Oh, yeah. Really, it's about heart, man. From top to bottom, from the staff to the last player on our bench, I feel like everybody, no matter the circumstances. And, you know, playoff basketball is different energy. I'm not trying to be a leader, whether that's verbally or just showing everybody what needs to be done. So I try to just step up and into my role as a leader and do whatever is necessary for us to get a dub. It's worked out.
Now, for you, Damian, man, I mean, you're a guy who obviously, you know, I got to know a little bit this summer, you know, playing up at Route 1, and you're a guy who I've always admired, man. You know, I heard your story last year, you know, about your parents, and I definitely resonate with that because I lost my mom and my dad, you know, growing up, and I think that is something to be said about kids that kind of, I no doubt, man, I appreciate that. But it's definitely something to be said about kids that have gone through adversity, man, and kind of, you know, persevere, and you're somebody who I've always admired, man, from afar, just your heart, your toughness. So to see you succeed, you know, last night, man, watching on national TV, man, was definitely something to see. I just want to know, man, for the people who don't really know you, people who might not have heard about you before last night, what does this moment mean to you to kind of be here despite all the adversity that you faced, you know, in your life to this point?
I mean, the world, man. I can't even, like I said, that moment, I couldn't explain how it felt. I ain't been asleep yet. But it's an amazing feeling, man. You know, like you said, adversity, it's part of life. And you know, I try to not really allow that to affect me. You know, I think the true person really shows when they respond, how they respond through adversity. So, I mean, like I said, there's not really too many words I can put that could really tell you the feeling I have right now, man. But no other feeling out close to this that I've ever experienced. So, man, it, damn, they're getting emotional back here, man. That's crazy.
As you should, man. You deserve it.
Yeah.
Kind of building on that, man, I mean, you're one of the smallest guards in the country. Didn't have a Division I or Division II offer, but, you know, Coach Engelstad and Mount St. Mary's, you know, they took a chance on you, gave you an opportunity to play. And I remember this summer we were playing up at Route 1, and you're guarding guys full court. You know, I mean, you didn't care about nobody. I mean, the gym was filled with pros. Like, I'm talking about, like, you were, you know, a college sophomore at the time or coming into your junior year now. But, I mean, you talk about your mentality, man, just, you know, being so underrated, you know, being a guy that's small, always slighted, you know, being able to have that chip on your shoulder and produce no matter who you're going up against.
Yeah, man. I mean, coming from Baltimore, man, you know that everybody always gonna you already got a chip coming from Baltimore. But I've been small my whole life. I've been overlooked my whole life. And like I said, that's just part of my story. And I want to say, like, earlier my career, like high school, I got a little caught up in, you know, seeing everybody else doing what they did, you know, getting these accomplishments. You know, I'm sitting there, don't even know where I'm going to school at, you know. But something I learned, especially after last night, bro, it's just about embracing your story, man. Everybody's story not the same. You gotta write your own story. And I'm trying to write mine the best way I can.
Sure. Like, Coach, man, obviously, you know, we spoke to you before the season started during the summer, when COVID was, you know, obviously running rampant in the offseason and everything. And, you know, for you, man, it's crazy to be talking to you now in March, you know, as you guys are the 2021 NEC champions. But talk about what this season has been like for you as a coach, coaching through COVID, man, like having to deal with the uncertainty of everything, having games canceled, you know, day before you play and things like that, to now sit here and you know, be NEC champions at the end of it.
Yeah, I'm just with you. The feeling of winning it, I think, was even more special because of all of it. Because, like, you look back, and I didn't want to look too back with our guys, but Dame would tell you, like, I put presentations, like, together just reminding us what it was like to not be able to practice, to remember what it was like not to be able to be in the gym, to remember the shutdowns, to remember all the testing that we've done, to remember, like, the Zoom calls that we had and the conversations that we had, just because, you know, that was part of this year's journey. And, like, you know, we talk about embracing the journey for what it is and, you know, being able to handle that adversity to get to prosperity. And, you know, these guys just kept fighting and kept plugging. And just, you talked about those last three games, and that was the message to our team and the message that they taught me, is that, like, no matter how bad it gets, because, like, it wasn't easy coaching through this. Like, it was hard on our staff. Like, we had to stop. We had to go. We had guys that, you know, our guys are – it's hard for them. They don't get to see their family members as much. We're trying to be that for them. But it's just – there's a lot of different emotions that come with it. So, you know, to be the last one standing and to get through it, like, it just – it means a lot. And, you know, these guys taught us that you just never stop. You don't quit. You just keep pushing. You never know when your break can happen. You know, same thing with Damian. Like, he never stopped. He never quit. You know, he didn't have an offer. I was the dummy that didn't offer him out the gate, and smart enough to do it after year one. But just, you know, that's the message. And that's the message to these guys. Like, you just always keep plugging. You never know. You never know when that break's going to happen. And we've broken through now. And, you know, for us, hey, man, we're ready to go win some games inside the tournament. Now, that's the goal, you know, and that we're going to keep pushing that bar every year. And, you know, we keep this crew together, man. We got a run in us that's going to be pretty darn special.
Sure. I mean, well, going right off of that, I mean, obviously, you know, coming from the NEC, you know, most likely you guys are going to be probably in the playing game and, well, I guess not Dayton anymore. But for you, man, what would it mean to you to – for you, Coach, what would it mean to you to kind of, you know – get Mount St. Mary's a win, you know, in the NCAA tournament, you know, on the big stage of them all in college basketball?
We're going to win the game, man. Like, you know, we want to stay as long as we can. We want to keep practicing. Every day that goes on, there's people that don't get that opportunity. I love being around this team. I know they love being around each other. So as much as we can keep the journey going, man, we're going to work towards that. And we don't care who we play. You know, like I said, I was joking on the other – I don't necessarily want to play Gonzaga, but, like, you know, if we got to go play Gonzaga, we'll go play him. Like, we just – you know, we're big, except for Damian, besides the one little guy. We're a big team. We get hot. We're going to guard anybody. So let's have some fun, man, and compete.
Yes, sir. Now, Coach, one thing that I noticed last night in that game was you guys hit some huge, huge free throws down the stretch. I mean, big guys made free throws. I mean, me and Drew up here in Atlantic City at the MAC tournament, we watched, I mean, Quinnipiac was 9 for 20 yesterday from the line. Manhattan struggled from the free throw line, and they both went home. I mean, guard missing free throws. But you guys, you know, you guys bigs were able to step to the line and make some huge free throws last night to win that game. I mean, talk about just the fortitude of your team and to be able to make those shots. I mean, I think one of your guys, like a 46% free throw shooter, shot like 6 for 8 from the free throw line last night. I mean, talk about that, you know, and what that means for your team and to be able to step up to that line and make free throws in the biggest moments.
Yeah, well, they needed to make them because they missed too damn many during the year. So finally stepped up and made some damn free throws. So that helped us. But, no, I mean, the reaction. like when they needed to step up and make them, they did that. And they did that versus Wagner, and they did that last night. And you know, that's they put so much work into it, and I think that's what it ended up coming down to. Is like they haven't shot good percentages, but Dame will tell you they both of them shoot free throws like crazy after practice, and so you know you could almost see them just kind of clear their brains and just step up and make some big ones for us. And yeah, but they owed us and they owed me because they've missed ahead in their 3 years, man. They missed way too damn many.
Like Coach, man, obviously, you know, you're a Montgomery County guy just like us, man. And you know, obviously, this is your first time being a head coach at the Division I level, obviously coming from Southern Vermont before this. I know just like players have chips on their shoulder, coaches have a chip on their shoulder as well. You know, I'm sure when you got a job, you felt like you probably had something to prove. I'm sure there was chatter about, you know, why should this guy have gotten a job coming from a Division III and stuff like that. What do you have to say now that you have kind of silenced all the doubt and kind of obviously won the NEC now to the people who might have doubted, you know, when you got the job?
I don't really pay those guys any mind, to be honest with you. I just run my race, and that's like Damian talked about, just creating my story with the guys that we want. You know, I've been fortunate. You know, there was a lot of things that I had to learn about this job, and there's a lot of mistakes that I've made over the years, and I have an amazing staff. Damian will attest to it. Like Coach Holland's one of the smartest basketball minds. Coach Graves and Coach Miller, like these guys are really smart. So they pick me up when I need them, man. But we try to build in a family dynamic, and to see the way that they embraced each other yesterday, we're doing something right here.
Now, Dame, man, I mean, Coach touched on it earlier. You guys have a team that could potentially, you know, come back and do it again next year. You know, what would that mean to you to be able to come back next year and potentially win it again, man? I mean, just as a player, you know, what are your goals for your career as you finish out, you know, next year at Mount St. Mary's?
Man, that's legendary, bro. You talking about legends. That's historical. You know, winning back-to-back, that's stuff a lot of people don't get a chance to get one. So, getting two, especially with the guys that you got, you know, in the locker room that you didn't build this bond with, you done been through it. Hopefully next year isn't how it was this year as far as with COVID. But, you know, we made it through probably one of the toughest seasons you're going to see as far as basketball and NCAA. So, my side, I feel like it can't get any harder than it did this year. So, definitely looking forward to that.
Nana said in the press conference yesterday that every game in Mount St. Mary's is going to be sold out next year. I think he might be right. Like, they're going to pack that thing for us next year now. I mean, they love winning, and they know. I mean, our whole crew's coming back. So, you know, well, knock on wood, I pray that we do. And if we do, we're watch out.
We love it. We love it, man. We love it. Yeah. I mean, technically, Coach, shoot, this year, you know, don't count. So you guys can maybe go on a run for two more years. You know, maybe we'll see. But I think
we can do it for a lot. We got some good players coming in, too, now. We're going to get this thing rolling.
Oh, love it. Love it. Love it. We love it. You know, for you, Dave, as a player, man, I know, like, you know, this year, like we've all mentioned on this podcast, has been a roller coaster ride. Just touch on for you what it was like as a player. Just going through this season with COVID, not being able to see your family as much, not being able to have a social life. You know, you guys are up there in, you know, the sticks of Maryland, not really able to do much. You know, Coach tried to tell us early on in the podcast that it was a wonderful location, et cetera, and everything. But I think we all know that you guys are up there in the middle of nowhere. So for you, talk about what this season was like.
Like I said, it was tough. We had a lot of different adversity and challenges popped up this season, but ultimately I think it helped us, you know, with the COVID rules, the protocols, us not being able to do certain things as a team. I feel like it made us that much closer, and it disciplined us. And I think that discipline carried on from off the court on the court. So I think, although it's challenging, I think that it really, in the end, it helped us. It was really like a test, and we passed it, honestly.
Of course, we don't want to take up too much of your time, but I got to know, you know, what do you have planned for these guys, you know, when you guys get back to Maryland? Is there any fun festivities you guys are going to, you know, enjoy this for a little bit? You know, what do you guys got planned for the guys, man?
Oh, man, it's a surprise, man. Surprise. You know, I can't tell Damien.
Oh, we can't get a little sneak peek.
We got some stuff, man. That school's going to take care of us. And, you know, obviously everything's got to be social distant. But there's going to be a gathering when we get back. And, you know, the Mount community really rallies around men's basketball and basketball in general. Our women's.
Tune in.
Yeah, should
tune
be fun.
In to the live.
Damien will have a live feed for everybody.
Yeah, tune in to my live. Y'all know in a couple of hours.
Say no more. We love it, man. I guess, you know, lastly, man, I guess I want to hear for both of you on this one. But, Coach, I mean, when people, you know, look back on this season and they look back on your group, what is the one thing that you want everybody to kind of remember about you guys, or one thing that you want people to recognize you guys for? If you could just sum up, you know, this season for people on the outside. I'll start with you, Coach, and then I'll go to you, Dave.
Toughness. It's that simple, toughness. Our guys are mentally and physically tough, and they have they took on Dame's personality this year, has just refused to back down, refused to lose, and, you know, our they're just the toughest group that I've ever coached.
How about you,
Dave? For me, so the question was, say it again? Say the last part of that.
How do you want people to remember this group? You know, looking back on this season, on this team, what's one way that you guys that you want people to kind of remember this team and your guys' story this year?
Honestly, we champs, man. We champs, man. I want everybody to know we winners. We winners, we champs. That's all I care about, man. That's all I care about, winning.
So, love it. Yes, sir. Sheesh, man. Well, Coach, man, I also want to say, man, I mean, with this championship, I mean, you got, you know, in Montgomery County, you know, you got, you know, Michael Miller, NBA champ, Dan Engelstad, NEC champ, you know, you're putting your name up there with some MoCo legends, man. You know, we got David Vanderpool up in the NBA right now, you know, about to get a head coaching job. I mean, I love to say, you know, Montgomery County, man, we're doing great things right now. All Facts Media, Robinson Twins, you know, MoCo's doing great things right now, man. So I'm proud of you, Coach, for putting us on the map once again, man. You know, I know we got some Baltimore guys on this podcast, but, you know, Montgomery County's in the building, man.
Well, I said it before, man. I'm proud of you guys, what you guys are doing, and the coverage that you're providing. You guys have a bright, bright future in this thing, man. You guys are special. So keep doing it, and we'll try to represent Montgomery County the best we can. And Baltimore's okay, too, man. We'll let them on the call.
Yeah, Baltimore's all right. You know, me and Drew are living in Baltimore, so we got to give Baltimore their flowers, too, you know. But it's still
man. Baltimore in the house.
For sure, man. Well, we're wishing you guys the best of luck going forward, man, in the NCAA tournament. Thanks again to you guys for hopping on with us, man. Like I said, man, for you, Dave, man, definitely and we continue to be inspired by your journey, man. We're definitely going to be rooting for you guys in the NCAA tournament, man. So thanks again for hopping on with us, man. We really appreciate it.
Let's go Mount, guys. Thank you.
All righty, guys, that was head coach Dan Engelstad, as well as Damien Chonqui, man, the hero of the NEC tournament for Mount St. Mary's, man. So happy for those guys, man, to see those guys punch their ticket to March, man. You heard them, man. They said they're going there to win games, man. They're not going there to go be anybody's, you know, curb stomp. You know, they're trying to go in there and win some games, man. So, coach, seem happy for Coach Engelstad, man, and, you know, Montgomery County representing out here on the biggest stages. Now, for sure, man, I mean, to see a couple of Maryland guys, obviously, you know, Coach Engelstad is Montgomery County guy, you know, Dame's a Baltimore guy, and they have plenty of other DMV guys on the roster as well, man. Always makes me happy to see, man, you know, a team full of, you know, guys from the area that, you know, has success, man, and those guys definitely deserve it, man. So, shout out to those guys, man. We're definitely going to be rooting for them, man, come NCAA tournament time. For sure, especially in the way that they were able to do it, going on the road and defeating Wagner, then going on the road and defeating Bryant, like you said earlier, who hadn't lost all year in Smithfield, man. I mean, I you know, I think everybody was picking Bryant, just as everybody was probably picking Wagner. So those guys definitely had a huge chip on their shoulder, man, and love to see it, man. DMV Hoop, stand up, baby.
Not for sure, man. But it wouldn't be an episode of the Auto Bid if we didn't give you guys the craziest thing we saw. And we kind of previewed this earlier, man, but we got to go back to this, Ace. I mean, last night, let me set the scene, you know, for everybody. obviously, it's the first round of the MAC tournament. Manhattan versus Fairfield. I believe this is the 7-10 game, I want to say. I mean, this is an absolute rock fight. I mean, nobody can make a shot the whole night. Manhattan, 1-for-17 from three. Fairfield is, you know, playing some great defense in that second half. It's crazy because the play before that, you know, their best player, you know, Jake Wojcik goes to the line, misses two free throws, and gives Manhattan a chance to kind of come down, man. They call a timeout right in front of the bench. There's about 4 seconds left. If y'all play up, you know, I believe it's for Samir Stewart, you know, one of their best three-point shooters. And, you know, Fairfield does a stellar job defending it. You know, they run a couple pin downs, some false action. He tries to get an and-1 three, pump fakes it. And here comes Ethan Lasko. Comes from the right corner, you know, a guy who is a walk-on, or was a walk-on, I know. He has an interesting career path. I'll let Ace kind of touch on that. But, I mean, absolutely drains it, you know, from well beyond NBA three, with to send the game into overtime. I mean, to be in the building for that was definitely the craziest thing that I saw.
Yeah, for sure, man. I mean, Ethan Lasko, a guy, he's from Florida, started his career at Indiana as a walk-on, actually. And transferred to Manhattan in 2018-2019. He actually played in 18 games that year, only played 3 minutes a game. And then the following year, in 19-20, last season, played in three games, averaged about 4 points a game. But then this year, he's played in about 20 games, started four games for Manhattan, actually, but he only averaged about 1.7 points per game, man. And for him to step in that moment and hit that three was absolutely amazing to see. And the jump shot was pure. Yeah, I mean, it was pure. It did not touch a soul part of the rim. It was all net, man. So to see that was absolutely amazing. He had opportunity, actually, in overtime that they put him in again. On the last possession, but wasn't able to score, man. But for him to be able to have his one shining moment in the MAC tournament was amazing to see. So kudos to you, Ethan Lasko.
For sure, man. It's crazy because he only played 3 minutes in the game. I mean, he got something at the end of regulation and then the end of overtime, and he had the ball both times. You know, it's crazy to be put in that position. You know, as a player, you know how hard it is to kind of come off the bench and be warm after sitting all game. I think he had tricked it once before that, but to come in with that amount of pressure on you, to be able to hit a shot off the bench cold, I mean, this guy's got some stones on him. I mean, that's not easy to do. You know, for everybody listening, man, that's definitely not easy to do, to kind of come off the bench and hit a shot like that when you've been sitting down for so long.
For sure, man. I mean, I think this is a testament to Coach Masiello, man, the trust that he has in his guys, man. For him to have the trust to put a walk-on in the game in the biggest part of your season. You know, you're down three, you need a three. For you to put a walk-on in a guy that, you know, have not played all year. I mean, he's not one of the, you know, key contributors. He only plays 5 minutes a game. And for you to trust your walk-on in that moment, man, it says a lot about Steve Masiello and the trust that he has in his players, man, the belief that he has in all guys, you know, from 1 to 15 on his roster, man. So definitely kudos to Coach Masiello, who gave a great post-game answer as well about, you know, the thing that these athletes have had to sacrifice this year just to put on the uniform and play and entertain, you know, everybody who watches college basketball, man. Those kids have sacrificed a lot. And Coach Masiello did a great job putting that in perspective after the game, man. So always have much respect for Coach Masiello over at Manhattan for the job that he does with that program.
Now for sure, man. I mean, the trust is deservingly so, because he knocked the shot down, you know. So definitely goes both ways, man. You got to have a coach that has confidence in you. And then, you know, as a player, you got to be able to kind of go out there and deliver, you know. And he did that, man. But, you know, to the games of the week. We are still in championship week. Conference tournaments are in full swing, man. And to the America East, we're going to have a conference championship, man, between two teams who pulled off some crazy upsets as well, man. We've been talking about UMBC and Vermont. So I'm going to have to give an apology, you know, to UMass Lowell and Hartford, because I pretty much penciled UMBC and Vermont into that championship game. And Hartford and UMass Lowell both had a lot to say about that going on the road. And, you know, we talked about Vermont being one of the tough places to play at length on this podcast. Man, Hartford is able to go there and get a win on the road. And UMass Lowell is able to go to UMBC and get a win on the road in a game that they were down by double figures. You know, I remember we were watching that game, man. I'm pretty sure UMBC led for like 39 minutes or something like that in that game, man. And UMass Lowell took the lead like at the very, very last second in that game, man, to win it, man, and punch the ticket to the championship game.
Yeah, man, I don't want to toot my own horn, but I told you guys on this podcast last week that Harvard Grant had something to say about this American East tournament, and I was right. I told you about the backcourt of Tracy Carter and Austin Williams, and those guys only combined for 47 points in that win at Vermont. Austin Williams went for 25 points and 9 rebounds. Tracy Carter, 22 points, 4 rebounds, and 3 assists. So Harvard, like I said last week, man, they are no slouch, man. They are a team that, you know, didn't really have a great regular season. I mean, they were able to earn a 4 seed in the conference tournament, man. But, you know, those guys are no slouch, man. Those guys, I'm going to put a prediction in that those guys are going to be able to punch their ticket to the NCAA tournament behind that backcourt of Tracy Carter and Austin Williams, man. So, you know, I don't want to toot my own horn, but, you know, I was right on this one.
Yeah. We'll see what happens. You know, I'm definitely, you know, going to be tapped in to the American East Final, man, to the Atlantic 10. We're going to have VCU and St. Bonnie's, man. These are the two best teams in the A-10 all year, man. Everybody was talking about Richmond and St. Louis. And these two teams were the two teams that kind of rose to the top, man, and have been kind of 1 and 2 for the majority of the year, man. We just heard today that Bones Highland got named A-10 Player of the Year in only his sophomore year. A guy who I was able to see in person when he came down to George Mason, man. Absolutely special, special talent, man. We know what St. Bonnie's has as well. Obviously, with Coach Mark Smith and a pair of PSA guys and Kyle Laughlin and Osunyi. So, I mean, this is going to be a great, great championship game. I really am looking forward to it. I don't know who I'm picking to win that one, man, but, you know, VCU and St. Bonnie's is definitely going to be appointment television. Not for sure, man. Like we just said, Bones Highland was named A-10 Player of the Year, and Mark Schmidt of St. Bonaventure was named A-10 Coach of the Year. So, going to have a coach of the Year going into Player of the Year, man. So, perfect chess match. Mike Rhodes, obviously, is no slouch either. He's a great, great coach, great man, great leader of men. And like you mentioned, Kyle Lofton and Osunyi are two of the best players in the A-10, man. So, it's going to be a great game. Like you said, appointment television. Both of those guys will be dancing in the NCAA tournament regardless of who wins that game, man. So, I'll be tuned in for sure, you know, whenever that game tips off. Now, for sure, man. I mean, it's the classic debate, man. Is it coaching? Is it players? I mean, which one is it, man? Well, I guess we'll find out in the A-10 title game, man. To the Patriot League, we're going to head to the semifinals, man. We got Loyola and Army and Bucknell and Colgate in the semifinals in the Patriot League, man. Obviously, we know Colgate has been kind of the best team in that league all year. Loyola was able to pull off a major upset over Navy. So we're going to have, you know, two games, man, between some great teams in the Patriot League.
For sure, man. I mean, don't sleep on Army. Army is a team that has been pretty good all year. They started off really strong and finished a little slow. But if you remember, Colgate and Army played earlier in the year, and Army beat Colgate, the only loss of the season. For Colgate came against Army earlier in the year. So that's going to be a game definitely to circle on your calendars. If Army was able to defeat Loyola obviously defeated the one seed Navy in the Patriot League opening round last weekend. So now we're on the semifinal rounds. But don't sleep on Army, man. Obviously, Colgate beat him by, you know, 44 that first game, 101-57. But then Army was able to come back night two and get that win. So they are the only team to beat Colgate all year, man. So if Army's able to beat Loyola, that could be a very, very good championship game in the Patriot League. I'm still going to pick Colgate to win that league, but I think Army will give them a run for their money.
We'll see, man. I'm done penciling teams in, you know, so we've got to see how that one shakes out in the Patriot League, man. But a lot of other leagues, you know, still going on. Obviously, we got, you know, the MAAC and the MAC in the quarterfinals. The Big Sky is in the quarterfinals. Big West is in the quarterfinals. The SWAC and the WAC are all in the quarterfinals of the conference tournaments now. Conference USA, as well as the Southland, is in the second round. And the Mountain West, the first round starts today, man. So, you know, between now and Selection Sunday, man, we got tons and tons of action across the mid-major landscape. Tons of basketball will be played. I'm sure tons of upsets to kind of still be talked about. So, next week when we have our episode of the Autobated, man, I'm sure we're going to have lots to dive into, lots to kind of digest. But and we're going to be looking forward to giving you guys our, you know, NCAA tournament sleepers, you know, some bracket buster picks and things of the such. So, stay tuned for that, man.
Yeah, this time next week, we will have a bracket. We'll be getting ready for those first four games in Dayton this time next week. So we're going to give you guys our picks next week. Guys, you know, your 12-5 upsets, your 13-4 upsets. We're gonna let you guys know the mid-major teams to go to Vegas and put the house on next week. So make sure you guys stay tuned for that episode next week. You will not be disappointed.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know if we want to be telling people to bet their house on this podcast. I don't know if we're going to encourage that. I mean, we are in Atlantic City with the casinos, but just as a disclaimer, we're not telling anybody to go and bet your house on this podcast. I don't want to get any messages, any DMs on Twitter saying, oh, you guys went and bet my house and now I'm homeless. All right? I don't want to see any of those tweets. You know, I don't want to be held liable or responsible for anybody who decides to place a bet of any amount on anything in this March Madness.
Yeah, well, that was Andrew Robinson. You know, his picks have not been looking too good this year, you know, but my picks have been looking very good all year. So bet your house on my picks. Drew might want to stay away from those, but, you know, I'm very, very confident in my picks. So, you know, if you want to win some money, if you want to, you know, earn some income over the next few weeks, stay tuned to my picks. I'm going to get you paid.
Listen, okay, it's an 18 and 2 well-versed in the legal aspect of things, you know.
Gambling is legal in America.
Gambling is very legal, but we don't want anybody coming back on us, you know, suing us, you know.
How they gonna sue us?
That we told them to do this and they lost their house. Now they're homeless. They lost their car. Now they don't have a way to get to work. All right. So we're gonna give you guys some suggestions, okay? You don't have to do it, you know, bet at your own risk. Gamble at your own risk. We'll give you guys some suggestions and you can do with that information what you may.
Yeah, I'm not forcing anybody to gamble anything, but if you want to win some money, you know, come see me. Come talk to me. I'm your guy. But that's going to do it for another episode of the Auto Bid. We are in championship week, and I cannot wait for next week. We will have a bracket to look forward to, man. So stay safe. Stay healthy, everybody. Make sure you guys, as always, are liking our content, sharing our content. Give us a rating on Spotify, on Apple Music, wherever you're listening to this podcast. Make sure you are following us on social media, at Twitter, Instagram. We're also on YouTube at All Facts Media. AllFactsMediaInc.com is our website for all our content, man. So make sure you guys are up to date with everything we are putting out. And as always, make sure you are streaming my guy Pull Up Tay's music. His project is out on all platforms. Life Ain't Fair. Make sure you guys go and listen to that, man. New music is on the way. Happy March. Make sure you guys stay safe, stay healthy, and until next time, this has been another episode of the Auto Bid. Now it's time to reject, boy. You bitten on me. I can tell. What's the topic of discussion? What we talking about? Take your best shot. I'ma take the last shot. I'm drawing in the clutch, boy. You bitten on me. I can tell. It's time to get a check, boy. Check, boy. On the sideline, you ain't made the headlines. Now it's time to reject, boy. You bitten on me. What's the topic of discussion? What we talking about? Take your best shot. I'ma take the last shot. I'm drawing in the clutch, boy. I don't bet. Let's go. What's the topic of discussion? Love.